Goeiemôre almal. Baie welkom. Mike, I'm going to do this in Afrikaans. Maar Mike is baie goed in Afrikaans.
Ek gaan in Engels praat.
Dat sê.
Maar julle kan in Afrikaans praat asseblief.
Ek wil net baie baie welkom sê vir twee groot skrywers en een van my gunsteling joernaliste, Deborah Steinmeier wat die onderhoud gaan doen. Hier langs my sit Ingrid Winterbach. Dit is haar Engelse vertaling van Vlakwater met die naam van The Shallows of die titel The Shallows. En Mike is hier met sy Afrikaanse boek Staatsrotte. Dit is die vertaling van Agents of the State. En die gesprek gaan oor 'n baie interessante of 'n baie lekker dilemma, naamlik dat Mike se Afrikaanse boeke baie beter verkoop as sy Engelse boeke. En dat Afrikaanse skrywers sal so maklik sê of dit is eintlik 'n probleem dat Afrikaans is nou maar nie 'n wêreldtaal nie. En jy sit en wonder as 'n Afrikaanse skrywer, het jy dieselfde trefkrag, het jy dieselfde reikwydte met 'n Afrikaanse titel? So dit is die teenstelling wat vandag bespreek gaan word.
Baie welkom aan almal en ek is baie geëerd om te praat met twee rocksterre met hulle platinum hare. Al twee van hulle skryf voltyds en dit wil gedoen wees in enige taal of kultuur, denk ek. Ek weet altyd as mense glad nie bekendstelling nodig het nie, dan word hulle die langste bekendgestel. So ek sal my nie daan skuldig maak, ek sal net vinnig ietsie sê oor elkeen. Begin by Ingrid met die dienlike middelnaam Gerda. Sy is 'n Transvaaler, Gauteng gebore. Maar sy het al baie spore in Stellenbosch geloop. Sy het skone kunste hier gedoseer. Sy het onder D.J. Opperman haar M gedoen in Afrikaans-Nederlands hier. Sy is so veelsuidig. Sy het ook Afrikaans-Nederlands in Durban gedoseer. En sy het al wat 'n prys is in Afrikaans al gewen. Onder andere die Hertzogprys meer as een keer. Sy is in verskillende tale vertaal. En dit is waaroor ons vandag gaan praat. Ek sal net vinnig dit sê, Marlene van die Kerk het van haar gesê, she's a writer that any literature would be envious of. En dit is nogal waaroor dit hier die praatjie ook gaan. Bekendstelling, blootstelling ook aan ander, ook vir ander kulture. Mike Nicol, journalist and writer, and he is translated all over Germany, France, UK, Holland, the US, and also a full-time writer, many awards, and his latest novel that we'll be talking about, The Agents of the State, Staatsrotte, simply wonderful. Okay, I'll just ask you straight off, what is the rationale behind translating a novel from English to Afrikaans in South Africa?
I suppose to find a market. It's a publisher's choice. It wasn't my choice. I was just delighted when Umuzi came to me and said they wanted to translate the books into Afrikaans. I had never dreamt that would happen. I was really pleased that it was going to happen because I thought, if Afrikaans-speaking people want to read the book, they're bilingual, they're very fluid in English, they would just read the English version, so why do the translation? So I was really pleased when the translation came along, and it picked up an audience almost immediately, which turned out to be greater than the English audience. Now, I'm not talking huge figures here. The English audience in this country is incredibly small and unfortunately growing smaller. I don't want to say too much about them because I can get very nasty about English readers in this country because I think they're letting down their literature. There are lots of very, very good books being published in English in South Africa, and unfortunately, the majority of them just go unread, or they go read or bought by 500 or 600 people, and that's it. So to reach an Afrikaans market means that you're getting to another sector of the population, a much larger sector of the population. And the interesting thing for me has been the reception from individual readers. Yes, there's a response from English readers, but it tends to be blunter, shorter, And there's no warmth in it at all. Loved your book, great thing, do it again, that kind of thing. But the responses I've had from Afrikaans readers have been far warmer in tone. And when I started getting these, I thought, what is it about this market that is so different to the English readership in its response? Because it is just so much more humane, it is so much more engaged with what has happened. And that to me was a considerable pleasure and a surprise.
So wat hy eintlik sê, die Afrikaanse leser, ons, is loyaal, toegewyd en baie enthousiasties.
Ja. En ons is warm.
Ons is warm. Laat dit nie van ons gesê word, ons is nie warm nie. Ek wil vir jou vra, Ingrid, jy is so ongelooflik verboos. Ek het gewonder, dit is 'n woord in Afrikaans, is dit nie? Ek gebruik dit al jare. Verbositeit.
Dit klink nie vir my so baie goed nie, Deborah.
Excuse toch?
Dit klink nie vir my so positief nie.
Dit klink dalk nie, maar dit beteken net vindingryk met woorde.
Oh, goed.
Baie woord. Woordryk klink ook nie goed nie, maar die manier waarop jy woorde gebruik. En ek gaan vir julle 'n voorbeeld gee. Cycladiese grafidool. Wie sou ooit daaraan gedink? Dit het my asem weggeslaan. En ek het gewonder hoe 'n mens dit ooit in Engels sal vertaal en Michiel Heinz, wat eintlik ook hier moes wees, nooit vol prese, het gesê, Cycladic funerary idol. Ek moet sê, in hierdie een geval het dit nie vir my so lekker van die tong gerol soos Cycladiese grafidool nie. Maar ek wil vir jou vra, hoe voel dit om jou boek in Engels te lees?
Ek het die boek nog nie weer gelees vandat hy gepubliseer is nie. Ek was natuurlik wel baie betrokke by die hele vertaalproses. Maar wat jy eintlik seker bedoel is hoe voel dit dat die boeke in Engels vertaal word?
Of wanneer jy dit lees, voel dit reg? Voel dit soos joune? Maar jy sê jy was baie betrokke geweest.
Ek was baie betrokke. Maar ek is altyd so bietjie bang om dit te lees. Ek dink ek laat dit altyd so bietjie los en ek dink as ek heeltemal afstand het van die boek, dan sal ek dit lees.
Ja. Stry jy soms oor 'n woord en het jy die finale sê, hoe werk dit?
Ek het die finale sê, maar Michiel, ek vertrou Michiel, as hy is baie inskikkelik, maar hy sal ook sê nee. Hy dring aan hier op die woord. En ek bedoel, sy kennis van Engels is net soveel beter as myne.
Ja, wel. Ek gaan hierso net 'n stukkie lees wat Louise Viljoen gesê het. As gevolg van die wye verskeidenheid karakters, elkeen met 'n eie stem, registreer die taalgebruik in die roman ook alle moontlike registers van Afrikaans en dek dit die ganse spektrum van die sublieme en heilige tot die banale en komiese. En dit is waarom dit sekerlik 'n groot uitdaging was om te vertaal. Maar mens kan sien hoe goed dit vertaal is uit iemand wat gesê het, Winterbach's prose, dis nou na aanleiding van die Engels neem ek aan, is relentlessly plain but breathtakingly agile. En dit is wat 'n mens van die Afrikaans ook kan sê. So ek dink dit is 'n wonderlike vertaling. Your book was translated by Theunis Engelbrecht, a poet. And it is also the Afrikaans, do you feel that there are certain things that because of the grittiness and the Germanic roots of Afrikaans that could be said in a better way, especially to do with scullies and gangsters and...
Well, when I read his translation, I thought I'm now hearing the book for the first time because that's the way I would have wanted it. In a perfect world, much of it would have been in Afrikaans. It would have been in both languages. So to hear and read the Afrikaans was actually to hear what I'd heard in my head when I was writing. And I'd said to Theunis right early on, I said, the most important thing for me in the translation is the rhythm. It's how this book will sound. As long as you can get it to sound like the English, that's all that I'm really worried about. The individual choice of words is entirely up to him. It was just the sound. And that's where a poet comes in.
Yes, exactly. Goed, ons moet praat oor die reikwydte ook. Voel jy dat die Engelse vertaling vir jou 'n groter reikwydte gegee?
Kan ek net gou nog iets sê omtrent die vertaling self? Kyk, die een probleem, dit is waarskynlik vir baie Afrikaanse skrywers, is enige karakter onder 50 praat, wel, baie weinig mense praat nog suiwer Afrikaans. Hoe jonger, hoe minder suiwer praat hulle. So, daar is grade van Engfrikaans. Dit is dikwels 'n aanduiding van iemand se ouderdom, van sy status, of gebrek aan status. Hoe vertaal jy dit in Engels? Hoe vertaal jy daai code switching? So, die oomblik wat daar moet maniere wees. Maar die oomblik wat jy daai code switching verloor, verloor jy 'n enorme klomp tekstuur in die boek.
Maar nou moet ek vir jou sê, 'n vertaler wat...
Ek weet nie, dit is nog, wat my betref, is dit nog nie heeltemal opgelos nie.
'N vertaler wat Etienne van Heerden se Tante Zaan se eksentrieke taal in Engels kon weergee, is nogal sy sout werd in 30 nagte in Amsterdam. So mens moet dikwels iets skep wat dieselfde gevoelswaarde het, duidelik.
Ja, maar hoe gaan jy daai vermenging van taal? Hoe gaan jy die vermenging van taal wat so belangrik is op die oomblik vir Afrikaans en vir die voortbestaan van Afrikaans, die feit dat die taal besig is om heeltemal te verander. Jy kan dit nie as idiosinkraties nie. Dis 'n hele manier waarop die taal besig is om te verander. Hoe vertaal jy dit?
Dit is 'n baie goeie vraag. Mike, you said before that one of the most difficult things for you, your novels in English, in South African English, that you have to adapt them to a standard English. Do you want to say something about that?
Yes, it's interesting for me because Karen Brainard is sitting in the audience here and Dion Mayo is not here. He should be here. I don't know why he's not. No support from him at all. In Icarus, he actually says in the beginning of the book that a lot of the Afrikaans expressions have been retained, and then there's a glossary at the end, which I hate. I hate glossaries. Dion and Karen get away with far more Afrikaans in their English versions than I'm allowed to. People are picking on me. It's deliberate. It's a conspiracy, and I understand this. It's because they live in Stellenbosch, and I live down in the Cape Peninsula. So I have these other standards, apparently. What it means is that for the English version, the version that gets published in the United Kingdom, I have to go and change some of the Afrikaans phrases and speech rhythms, even when the words are in English, but I have used an Afrikaans rhythm. Yes. I have to change that back to an English rhythm. So that, to me, is an unfortunate loss in the translation. I mean, I understand that when the language is changing altogether, that's another issue too. Mine is a smaller, more detailed issue to do with colloquial phrases.
In Ingrid, wat ek ook vir jou wil vra, is dit baie moeilik om 'n oorseese uitgewer te kry? Mense boek is nou vertaal in Engels, maar nou moet jy steeds 'n verspreider of 'n agent en 'n uitgewer kry.
Ja, jong, die mense wil nie byt nie. Ek weet nie wat dit is nie. Ek weet nie wat dit met my werk is nie, maar dit gaan nie so maklik nie.
Ja, mense verstaan dit.
Ek weet nie wat ek verkeerd doen nie. Maar ek weet nie, dit is net nie. Ek weet nie of mense moet leer om my te lees nie, soos wat hulle in Afrikaans geleer het om my te lees.
Miskien.
Jy weet. Dit is net of... Ek weet nie wat dit is nie. Miskien moet die uitgewers wat dit is. Maar hulle kry, dit is net moeilik. Dit gaan net nie so vlot soos met ander skrywers. Miskien is ek net nie sexy genoeg nie. Nie. Wat nie? Nie spanningsvol genoeg nie. Ek weet nie wat dit is nie, maar in elk geval. Dit gaan nie so vlot soos wat ek sou, soos wat mense sou nie. Wou gehad het nie.
Ek kan vir jou sê, jy is sexy genoeg. En jou storielyne is eintlik baie dig Dit is versinsel, konterfeitsel en intrige, ek haal aan. Daar is selfs moord, daar is verdwynings, daar is satanistiese rituele. Dit is baie dig. So you...
Just can I ask Ingrid one question? Ingrid, has English opened up other markets for you, other languages for you?
Yes, but also to a small extent. One of my works has now been translated into French, and two have been translated into Dutch, apart from the English.
And was that a piggyback translation, as they say?
Die Franse vertaling is uit die Afrikaans gedoen. Ja.
Wat toch maar ideaal is.
In die Nederlandse is natuurlijk uiteraard ook uit die Afrikaans gedoen. Ja.
So it hasn't.
And you have an agent overseas, do you?
Yeah. Yes. Secret agent.
Oh, yes. Uit die aard van die saak, nee. And is it really true that you sell more Afrikaans books in South Africa than English?
I don't think the publishers here. They're the only ones that could tell you that reliably, because I can't understand my royalty statements.
Yes, I know. Who can?
I need a royalty statement that says this many books sold and we will pay you that amount of money. But they come with all these figures and I look at them and throw them in the bin and wait until there's either money or they take money out of my account or something, you know.
And there's never a total on the statement.
Never at all. No. So you've got to add that together, and if you can't add, you're lost.
That's me. Yes. Ingrid, ek wil vir jou vra, dink jy, wel, ek dink 'n skrywer sal seker so dink jy uitgewers het 'n verantwoordelikheid teenoor Afrikaans, teenoor die letterkunde, om 'n skrywer wat absoluut die moeite werd is, weier bloot te stel, om byvoorbeeld 'n boek te vertaal. Ek wil gou ietsie aanhaal wat Auntie Krog gesê het oor jou in 2002. As deel van 'n ware taaldebat sou ek wou hê dat minstens die beste Afrikaanse boek elke jaar in Engels vertaal word, sodat dit kan deel in 'n groter Suid-Afrikaanse literatuur en debat. Ons sit met 'n verruklike boek soos Ingrid Winterbach se Niggie. 'N Mens is dankbaar dat sy in Afrikaans skryf, maar hoop net nie so 'n noodsaaklike stem word weens haar taal van 'n groter Suid-Afrikaanse tafel afgevee nie.
Okay, ek wil twee dinge hier sê. Die een is dat ek regtig die uitgewers diep dankbaar is dat hulle nog die moeite doen om die werk te vertaal, veral omdat dit dis 'n klein oplaag, dis elke keer is dit 'n waagstuk. Eintlik is dit nie eers vreeslik 'n waagstuk nie, want mense weet die boek gaan nie verskriklik goed doen nie. Nou, die tweede punt, ons het 21 jaar in Durban gewoon, en toe het ek besef, dis absoluut noodsaaklik dat my werk vertaal word. As ek in Stellenbosch gebly het, het ek miskien nie gevoel nie. Maar omdat Afrikaans so periferaal is in Durban, het ek net gevoel, dit is vir my noodsaaklik om te vertaal. En ek het baie naïef gehoop dat as my werk vertaal word, word ek deel van die breër Suid-Afrikaanse literatuur. Want ek het ook gevoel dat hierdie taalapartheid is eintlik 'n onding. Dit is 'n verskriklike ding dat daar Afrikaanse letterkunde is en dat daar Engelse letterkunde is. Die swart letterkunde is nou hoofsaaklik eintlik ook Engelse letterkunde. So het ek gehoop, word my werk vertaal, dan word ek deel van ons groot Suid-Afrikaanse letterkunde.
Maar nou weet ons waar die probleem lê by die Engelse leser in Suid-Afrika, soos Mike gesê.
Absolutely.
Mike, I want to ask you, being translated into Afrikaans, you're part of the Afrikaans literary scene now of the festivals, and...
I don't know about that.
Do you find that you are recognized on the street?
All the time, just walking through from where I parked the car, I had to greet so many people.
So do you miss that anonymity?
Yes, not in Cape Town, you know, one is completely nobody. But here, yes, at least one is somebody.
I think jy dieselfde in Durban.
I'm going to have to work on it.
In Durban het jou bure dalk nie eens geweet jy is 'n Hertzogprys wennende skrywer nie.
Wel, as hulle geweet het ek is, het sou nie geweet wat die Hertzogprys is nie. Ek het altyd, kom ek terug dat ek is bijvoorbeeld die Hertzogprys gewen, dan sê ek, oh, I've just won the Hertzogprys. Oh, that's nice.
How does it work with the selling of copyright, or if you want to have your book distributed overseas?
It's an interesting one. What they do is they break the copyright so that the English market, the agent sells to Britain and Umuzi at the same time. So Umuzi get the Southern African rights, and Old Street, in my case, get English language rights, which includes the US. So they sell to the US and they get that money. But the other, the old Commonwealth, so India, Australia, New Zealand, the UK, they take that right. So that's how the rights are then split up for the English version. It's mind-blowing. You need somebody else. You need a secret agent to handle it for you.
Right.
I just hope that they're truthful.
Just not an agent of the state, though.
Fortunately not.
Okay. And Ingrid, ek wil nog ietsie vir julle lees. Wat sy gebruik het in vlakwater. En ek het gedink, hoe gaan jy hierdie term ooit vertaal? Bevokte holwang bekruiper. Mooi. En Michiel het dit vertaal as fucking hollow-cheeked disturber of the peace. Wat baie, baie lekker ook lees, nee. Nou wil ek vir jou vra, Ingrid, lees jy, as jy enigszins die moedertaal, die skryftaal van 'n skrywer kan lees, lees jy ooit dan 'n vertaling van hulle boek, behalwe as jy moet?
Wel, die enigste ander taal, Engels sal ek in Engels lees, en dan lees ek net Nederlands.
Ja.
Dis al wat ek kan lees, maar ek sou verkies om dit dan in die oorspronklike taal te lees.
Ja.
Ja. Mike was nou die eerste uitsondering, want ek het Staatsrotte het ek gelees in Afrikaans, want ek was nieuwsgierig. Maar die oomblik toe ek dit lees, toe is ek spyt dat ek nie die Engels by het nie.
Ja.
Want ek wou graag sien hoe dit vergelyk die twee.
Ek het eers die Engels gelees.
It's probably sold out, that's the problem.
Wouldn't be surprised. So you read English and Afrikaans, but not a lot of Afrikaans.
No, but I've had to start reading more and more, because if you want to get on top of Dion Mayokar and Brainard, you've got to read them in Afrikaans. So they are exercising this side of my brain for me at the moment. The trouble I find with them is that they always write books that are this thick.
Yes.
Which is quite handy, because where I live, the southeaster blows a lot, so I use them to stop the doors from banging.
Yes, yes.
But Koers and Teisland, you know, that's 1,000 pages between them. So I'm reading quite a lot of Afrikaans at the moment.
Right. I read Agents of State in English first, and I must say, Dionysus' translation is almost like an interpretation, a new work of art. Would you agree that it's...
I would indeed, yes. I have. He didn't say this to me, but I have had one other translator who in the German said to me that he'd written a much better book than mine. And I didn't want to ask Tienes this, because I thought he might say the same thing. But he's a very modest guy. He lives not far from me, and we've never met.
Oh.
We have an email exchange, and when fires threaten his house, I say, do you want me to come up and pour water on the flames? And he says, no, it's okay. And then when fires threaten my house, we, you know, that's how it goes.
And you started out writing fiction, and then you switched to crime. Is it because crime pays?
It has, in a way, I have to admit. It's, you know, there was a time, I suppose, I started writing as Ingrid did. I mean, It was horrendous when I was doing some research into Ingrid to see that she'd actually published before I did, and I can't have that really, you know. So she has this long, long track history, and we both go back to the days before the new dispensation. And I suppose at the time nobody was going to write a crime novel in this country. So one started out writing what is called literary fiction these days, or general fiction. But then came the change, and I don't believe in writer's block, but I suppose it was something like that. And I felt I just had to do something different. And that's when my partner said to me, why don't you write crime fiction? I said, I'm a serious writer, I don't write crime fiction. And she said, well, I think you need to step down a bit. And I did. And it was the best thing I've done in my life. It has been such fun. It really has.
It looks like fun. You make it look like fun.
No. One has to have fun. And it's taken me all over the world, and I've met wonderful people. And the crime writing group internationally, they don't have any daggers. The literary people are full of knives and swords, and the moment you turn your back, you've got 20 daggers sticking in them.
The crime writers only have revolvers.
Yes, but they shoot other people.
Good.
They never shoot themselves.
Ingrid, jou boeke het ook die storylyn het baie digter geword. Het het meer ook storylyn gedrewe geword. Is dit reg?
Ek dink dit is nogal so. Ek het net in 'n stadium net besef dat story, die boeke waar ek die beste reageer is boeke waarin daar meer story is. En toe het ek maar, ek weet nie, miskien het ek gewoon ontwikkel as 'n romanskrywer. Ek weet nie as wat ek begin het nie, maar ek dink dat by my het die penny verskriklik laat gedrop. Dat 'n mens kan allerhande goedjies doen, allerhande fancy footwork, maar as jy 'n sterker struktuur het, as jy 'n sterker narratiewe lyn het, dan laat dit jou eintlik meer toe. Voorheen het ek net die fancy footwork gedoen. Nou het ek die struktuur en dan daar binne kan ek dan allerhande dinge doen.
En nou het jy daar fancy moves. maar die grense het baie vervaag tussen literêre fiksie en misdaadfiksie.
Pardon. One of the points I wanted to pick up with Ingrid was this business of time and how time is different in our novels. Ingrid has chapters that start one morning a week after the pig episode. 2 days a week, Nick taught at late summer turned to autumn. So she has this wonderfully long time period. And I think there's so much freedom in that, and it's so much easier. When you get into a crime novel, every single minute and hour count, and you have to account for your character's behavior from one scene to the next. Here, whole lifetimes go by in weeks without having to comment on what the character did. And I think, why can't I have this luxury? You know, it's just not fair.
Maybe you should just be happy with the money.
If it were that big, I would, but it's not.
But in game.
Dit is vir my, dit is nogal vir my skokkend om dit te hoor. Ek het gedink, dit is 'n verskriklike tempo wat ek hier volhou. But Mike, I did realize that it is really for me a surprise to learn that the time is of the essence in a crime novel. So it's not possible to stretch it out.
Well, it is, I suppose. And I mean, what your book made me do was think, how can I do the next book where the time period is longer, where time is not such a tyrant? And I'm reading a book called The Company at the moment. It is 800 pages. It's a fictional history of the CIA. And he's managed to do this because it's based against history. he's managed to stretch out so that the tension is, because you kind of know what happened in the international events in the world, and the story is measured against those international events, so that's where the tension lies. But the major tension in a crime novel or an espionage novel is time.
Yes. Racing against the clock. And also for the reader, you can't read it in a month's time because there are so many details that you have to remember and clues. Well, with Ingrid's books, you can read a chapter and a month later you will still remember, because she writes so vividly the characters, you will still know exactly, remember what's going on.
Indeed. And the other, you know, the other wonderful thing which I realized too is the freedom that you have, I'm talking now from prison of the crime novel, is you don't have to comment on a character's clothing each time you introduce them. I do. People want to know what the character is wearing, because it's got to be different from the morning, otherwise the character is clearly poor and can't change clothes. So I've now become, it's been going back to regressing to my childhood when I used to have a doll's house and clothe the dolls and all the rest of it, as boys did. Now I can do it for the first time. So I surf these web pages for ladies' underwear, bra sizes, all that kind of stuff, because I need to clothe the characters. And I realized you don't need to do that. You don't need to be that specific about what your character is wearing, and that's an incredible freedom. It gives you time to do other things.
And that's interesting.
That's a literary response. Never say too much.
Maar Ingrid het die vermoë om in 'n enkele sin vir jou presies te laat verstaan hoe die karakter lyk, wat sy geskiedenis is, wat sy eksentrisiteite is. So dit is baie waardevol.
Miskien wys ek nie altyd wat die karakter dra nie, maar ek probeer daarom wys hoe die karakter lyk.
Ja.
En daar is my groot voorbeeld Saul Bellow.
Ek wou
die wonderlike, ongelooflike portret is, wat net met die beskrywing van 'n neusvleel of 'n boelip 'n hele karakter se eienskappe kan oproep.
And More Die of Heartbreak was die ou getroud en iets aan sy vrou het hom baie gepla, en toe kyk hy die fliek Psycho saam met sy oom, toe besef hy wat dit is.
Ja, die vrou het seker vierkantige skouers gehad.
Soos Psycho karakter.
Ja, maar Saul Bellow is maar net seker klein details.
Maar vandat ek jou die eerste keer gelees het, herinner jy my die meeste aan Saul Bellow, en dit is hoekom ek voel, hulle moet jou net ontdek oor see, die regte mense moet jou ontdek. Jy is nie so Suid-Afrikaans spesifiek of storielyn gedrewe nie, maar jou mark is daar, mens moet net by hulle uitkom.
Hulle moet nou opskit. Daar is nie meer baie tyd nie.
Okay.
I just want to pick up on something there, because I think what is happening in how you read the book, and I think where Ingrid has an advantage is one reads more intensely, because the language is more intense. And so the initial description of a character tends to resonate throughout the book. Whereas in a crime novel or a thriller, the reading is less intense, because the reading is about the story and not about the character. No matter how much effort we might put into the character, it's ultimately the reader is reading about the story. So the images in a literary novel, I think, tend to stay longer, because they kind of, they burn onto your brain as you're reading.
Yes.
And that's, I think, one of the differences, which I hadn't thought about till now, but it seems to me to be.
But in Afrikaans now, we have crime writers like Karen Breinhart.
Don't say anything, she's really good.
And Mike Nicol, of course. Wonderful characters. Ons moet weer 'n bietjie.
Some of the party van daai karakters in Staatsrotte sal by my bly, hoor.
Ja.
I'm pleased to hear that.
Ek het nou net vanoggend uitgevind die een hoofkarakter Fish Pescado is eintlik autobiografies, die surfer dude.
Yes, I know. So somebody that handsome, fair hair, broad shoulders has to be autobiographical.
That bright, that unassuming, jy sien hom nie aankom nie, jy kan hom maklik onderskat.
One of the things I don't do, I don't sell dache though. But if you want some, just speak to me afterwards.
Ek het by die uitgewers bietjie gepraat ook, Nelleke, en hulle sê, as jou boeke nou vertaal word, is 35% van jou verkope. Ingrid, ek wil vir jou ook iets vraag wat ook een moeilike vraag is. Jy het vroeger genoem die switch in Afrikaans as een karakter oorskakel Engelse woorde tussenin gebruik. Hoe nou, voel jy het Michiel Heinz dit recht gekry? Is dit moontlik om dit wel oor te dra in Engels?
Die code switching? Ja. Nee, ek weet, ek dink nie heeltemal nie. Met die vorige, met die It Might Get Loud, waar die, denk ek, nee, ek denk ek kry dit reg. Ek kry dit in 'n mate reg.
Soveel as wat een mens nie, maar kan, amper.
Ja, maar ek denk dit bly 'n probleem ja. Vir die vertaler. Hy kan die soort, soos in, die herhaling van, jy weet, dis soos in, en dit kan een mens kry, maar jy kan nie die textuurwisseling kry nie, van een Engelse woord in een Afrikaanse tekst nie.
Ja, it's similar to what you said, that you can't get away with using a lot of Afrikaans words in your books. Is that from the English readers in South Africa?
No, they would tolerate it. Not so tolerate, the wrong word. They wouldn't even notice it. At least I hope they wouldn't. One of the things that I have managed to persuade publishers to do is to not italicize these words.
Yes.
That always used to irritate the hell out of me.
Yes.
That you'd come across a word, nochal, and it's italicized. And I think, but everybody uses this word. Why, you know, it's been incorporated into the language. Why are you italicizing it? Unfortunately, now in the UK, they don't italicize the words that I'm allowed to use. But it's a device which Karen uses, Dion Mayer uses it as well, is that when you have the Afrikaans word, you've then got to have a phrase afterwards that will explain that word.
Oh, yes.
And that's better to me than having a glossary. So if you use mochu, you've got to have some... You've got to then explain, you know, a stupid bugger or whatever phrase one's going to use immediately after.
Which is also not that natural.
It isn't, but it's a better way of doing it to me than having the glossary at the back, because I hate glossaries.
Yes. So, sal julle sê vertaling is amper soos 'n akteur wat tekstskrywer se teks interpreteer en 'n stem gee. Is dit min of meer so?
Yes, I would imagine it is, yeah. Yeah, and the voice gets carried over, but there has to be... Tienus's voice, I think, is there as well. And I think that's what happens. Michiel is really good. Is he in the audience? So I can say nasty things about him. He's really good at doing that kind of translation.
Yes.
And I hope that TNS, I've had two Afrikaans translators now, and they both did extraordinary, both have done extraordinary jobs. And I think TNS has got an ear, which is remarkable.
The poet's ear, yes. Yeah. Ingrid, het jy ooit daaraan gedink om in Engels te skryf, of is dit selfmoord in Suid-Afrika vir 'n skrywer?
Ek het 'n roman in Engels geskryf en ja, ek het altyd gesê dat dit was soos om soos met 'n verskriklike kritiese minnaar op reis te gaan. So dit was baie lekker om weer by die ou eggenoot thuis te kom. Nee, ek het die hele tyd, die punt is as mens in Engels skryf, is jy die hele tyd bedag daarop, gebruik jy die Engels korrek. En as jy sou afwyk, sal die leser dink dis omdat jy Afrikaans omdat jou jou Engels nie goed genoeg is nie.
Nou as jy
terwyl in Afrikaans het ek net gewoon natuurlik ken ek die taal veel veel beter, hoop ek, maar ek het ook 'n vryheid om te doen met om te speel met die taal wat ek nie in Engels het nie.
En as mense dit weer te korrek gebruik, dan is dit dalk 'n klisee, klisee-matig. Die Engel, as jy in Engels skryf as Afrikaner.
Ja, en jy weet ook nie eens wanneer dit 'n klisee is.
Ja.
En jy weet, ek het ja, en dan gebruik 'n mens jy dink jy skryf Engels, maar jy skryf eintlik Engels tweede taal.
Maar dan sou iemand soos Joseph Conrad wat as volwassene Engels geleer het en daaraan geskryf het.
Ja, maar hy skryf oor die see. Nee, dit is merkwaardig, ja. Regtig.
Ek dink wat 'n mens ook al doen, jy moet maar net iets kies and you stick to it. Because you hone your craft, I don't think you can really jump around. Well, some people can. Andre Brink het in Afrikaans en Engels sy romans geskryf. Ja.
Dit is ek bedoel wie anders. Daar is Fanny Nudee. Het sy nuwe roman self vertaal. Wow. Dit dink ek is baie ongewoon.
But Brink never called it a translation though. I think he said he was writing two different books.
Yeah. Yes, that's yeah. Right.
En net om aan te sluit, ek dink vertaling is by uitstek interpretasie. Want 'n boek kan op baie maniere vertaal word.
Ja.
Jy weet.
Dit is so.
Jy die stem van die vertaler. Die stem van die vertaler, jy hoor die stem van die vertaler. Dit is onvermydelik, dink ek.
Ek sal graag vir iemand soos Michiel Heinz wou vra, as jy so goed kan skryf, hoekom skryf jy nie net jou eie boeke nie? Hoekom vertaal jy nog andersin?
Maar miskien sal hy ophou. Beter sy boeke doen.
Maar ons is baie bly daarvoor. Is daar vrae wat jy het rondom vertaling of hulle werk of enige iets? Dink ons tyd is omtrent klaar, dit is 'n uur, nê? Nee.
Ja,
goed. Ek hoop dat daar van julle hier vandag is wat nou geïnspireer is om ook die Engels te lees, The Shallows, en die Afrikaans, Staatsrotte, en vergelyk en sien hoe dat dit in eie reg ook 'n kunswerk is en watter wonderlike vertalers ons het. En baie dankie vir julle en wat julle doen.
Dankie, Deborah.